If you're glad you're in the house of the Lord, say amen. Amen. You can stand with us. You testifying or just getting ready? She's ready. Amen. Stand with us. Amen. I like that. I like that enthusiasm. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 116. And I told you last week we'd finish. I said we'd finish this tonight. And we only preached one phrase last week. So I was looking at this again. I'm not even going to try to finish it tonight. But I want to give you several things I think would be an encouragement to you this evening. Verse number one, the psalmist said, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death can pass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. And for sake of time, we'll not read the rest of the psalm. And we're going to try to cover those verses as quickly as we can tonight. You can be seated this evening. Our Heavenly Father, on this prayer meeting night, we want to pause for one more moment of prayer. We thank the Lord for the songs we've sung and heard sung already, the testimonies that have been given. Lord, testimonies of praise to you for very simple things that, Lord, tonight we don't take for granted. And then, Lord, praise for salvation. And, Lord, praise, Lord, this evening, Lord, just from our hearts tonight, Lord, over things that only God could do. And, Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that we can be thankful. We're thankful for the moving of our God. Now, Lord, I pray, receive our prayer with that thanks. Lord, we ask you tonight for help around the Word of God. Lord, we know tonight we need, Lord, something, Lord, to satisfy our soul. We're thankful for the ways you've done that very personally, Lord, already this week through the Word and time and prayer and communion and fellowship with you. Times, Lord, where you've just come by, Lord, loved on us in our mind and in our hearts and in our souls. But, Lord, we need, Lord, something special tonight here in the congregation. And I pray, Lord, that you would build and edify our faith and our trust in God. And, Lord, we'll bless you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let me rehearse just a few things. Some were not here last week, and maybe some will watch us tonight. And it'll do us good maybe to hear a few of these things. Psalm 116, we understand we're in that section of the Psalms where this is the fourth of the six Hallel or Hallelujah Psalms of praise to the Lord. These songs, having been sung around the Passover meal, seem to each settle upon a particular element, whether it be the character of God or some action that God has done or something very particular in the psalm to those that maybe would sing these psalms that are intended in our life and in our heart as believers to inspire praise to the Lord. And so praise is what is trying to be inspired. These psalms or the psalmists in these psalms are going to carry us to a very particular element. In Psalm 116, we said last week that what makes this one unique to you and I is that it is deeply personal. I love the Lord. And we find in Psalm 113 maybe some general things that all of humanity can find to praise God about. In Psalm 114, it's particularly unique to Israel as it deals with the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. In Psalm 115, there is a collective where there are different groups that are pointed out, be it Israel or the house of Aaron or simply anyone who could find themselves among a crowd that fears the Lord, that we are called upon to praise God. But in Psalm 116, this psalm meets us on the grounds of our own personal relationship with God and what it should look like. And so the psalmist said, I love the Lord. And this psalm is for all of us who can say that I love the Lord. And I hope you do tonight. If you're saved, we're supposed to love God. And maybe we're not where we ought to be in that love, striving to be where we ought to be in that love. But if you have any love for God and the Lord in your heart tonight, this psalm meets you and I where we are in life. And so this psalmist speaks of his own life as a child of God. We said last week in this psalm, as you read it in its entirety, that this psalmist speaks of the problems of his life. He speaks of the problems. This psalm speaks of things the psalmist is facing. In verse 3, the sorrows of death and the pains of hell and trouble and sorrow that he's found. In verse number 6, he said, I was brought low. In verse number 8, he speaks of death and tears and falling. In verse number 10, we didn't read tonight, he just simply said, I was greatly afflicted. In verse number 16, he speaks of my bonds, personal chains that are upon him, and personal imprisonments that he feels captivated to. And we just draw from this psalm and a very personal aspect at God's people, no matter who they are, face problems. You're going to face problems. You're going to have problems in life. Everybody has problems. Saved people have problems. Lost people have problems. Sinners and saints alike are going to face problems. And just because we're saved and love God and are trying to live for God does not alleviate us from the problems of life. And so problems are going to be a part of our life. But the psalmist here deals with the prayers of his life. It's interesting, this psalm, though it is to inspire praise and a praise psalm itself, we do find that it is also a psalm of prayer. And we see this many ways. He said, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. We'll deal with that tonight if the Lord will help us. But the psalmist is dealing with prayer. I have problems, but I'm praying my way through those problems. The psalmist may have problems, but four times specifically throughout this psalm, he speaks about calling on the Lord. Verse number 2, verse number 4, verse 13, and verse number 17. And when you find someone, particularly this psalmist as we're here, in the Word of God, talking about calling upon the Lord, that is synonymous with or descriptive of somebody praying to God. And so the psalmist is reminding himself and reminds us tonight that though we face problems, we have an audience with God. We have his listening ear. We can pour out our heart, lift up our voice, give him our supplications, and pray our way through those problems. And so ain't you glad the child of God can have a prayer life? I hope you have one. You're going to need one. You've already found, no doubt, if you've been saved 5 minutes, you understand that if you're going to make it in your spiritual journey, you're going to need a prayer life. You're going to need a prayer life, and if you ain't needed it in a while, you're going to need it more and more in these days that you and I are living, the problems of his life, the prayers of his life. But we see in this Psalm 116, he talks about the praise of his life. And this psalm being a hallelujah psalm, a Hallel psalm, one of these six psalms of praising God. And this psalmist is praising God as he makes his way through life. In fact, the psalm will end in verse number 19, praise ye the Lord. And this psalm, Brother Larry, is just simply the psalmist saying, I'm going to praise my way. I may have problems. There may be sorrow. I may have tears running down my cheek. I may feel like I'm dying. I may feel like hell has laid hold on me. But no matter where I am, I'm going to praise my way through life. I understand that's easier said and preached than done. I understand tonight, but may I say this evening, and as children of God, we've got to learn to never quit praising God. We've got to praise Him when we're up and praise Him when we're down. We've got to praise Him when the sun's shining or when the storm clouds have rolled in. And the psalmist said, I may be a child of God with all sorts of things going on in my life, but I'm going to praise and make sure the Lord is the praise of my life. But we're dealing with this psalm, all of that in view, but in particularly how this psalm begins in verse number 1, where we find the passion of His life. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. He is speaking about the passion of His life. His passion is not His problems. His passion goes beyond. And there, I say that because in this hour of Christianity, there are many that are so passionate about their problems. But there's something more passionate to the heart of this psalmist, and that is simply, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. The word love in its Hebrew form, it speaks of and simply conveys one's affection for another. I am affectionate to the Lord. I am passionate about the Lord. And He's communicating His love for God no matter what he's going through. The psalmist may be up against some things, but he comes right out the gate in this psalm and said, there ain't nothing I'm facing. There ain't nothing that's touched my life. There's no way hell has come against me that has divided my heart from loving God. And how we need to be reminded of that in this hour. For so many have left off loving God because of what they're facing, because of how they're hurting, because of what has touched their soul. But I'm here to remind us tonight through this psalm that we ought to always stay in love with God. That's the first and greatest commandment. And nothing you and I are going through negates or alleviates you and I from that responsibility to stay in love with the Lord. And we're in this crazy world that talks about, well, I fell in love and I fell out of love. My friend, love is a choice. And love is something that is our responsibility, be it in an earthly realm or in the spiritual realm between us and God. We must remain passionate about the Lord. And so here's our thought we're preaching on. With all of that in mind, that's a rundown through the psalm, very personal psalm. We can relate as God's children to this psalmist on a very personal level about the problems of our life and the prayers of our life and the praise of our life and the passion of our life. It all ought to be governed around the Lord. And by the way, we said last week that and the psalmist filtered all his problems through his love for God. His relationship to God is what he filtered all of his problems through. And I'm watching some that are bailing out. I'm watching some throughout the years of my life and ministry that have bailed out on God because of problems. And they failed to filter their problems through their love for God. And that's the only way you're going to make it, because hell's going to throw everything it can against you to get you to bail out on God and quit on God and quit on the church and get crossed up and go paths you shouldn't go down. But my friend, if you and I will filter all of that through, God loves me and I love the Lord, amen, it'll keep you where you need to be as a child of God. Amen, even on your most foolish days, and I'll show you that in a moment.
And so we're preaching on the thought, praise for the Lord you love. Praise for the Lord you love. Praise in the Lord because you love Him in spite of the things we're going through. And if we love the Lord, we'll praise the Lord. We said some things about that on last week. You may praise Him without loving it, but you cannot love Him and not praise Him. Amen. You may go through the motions of praise and there not be anything on the inside. But if you have something on the inside that loves God, how in the world could you not praise Him? How in the world could you not lift your voice up and your hands up and be excited about the Lord that you and I love? We dealt with just the phrase last week, I love the Lord. And we called it the record of loving the Lord. I love the Lord is a statement revealing the testimony of the psalmist's relationship with the Lord. He wants to go on record. He wants it to be the testimony of his life that he loves the Lord. Hell says, we're going to throw more on you than you can bear. We'll get you to quit on God. The psalmist said, I want it on record and all hell to know that I love the Lord. He's got some enemies that have captivated and put bonds and chains on his life. But the psalmist said, I want it on record to every enemy I have that I still love the Lord. That is the testimony of his life. He's done some pretty foolish things, we'll see in a moment, himself, where he has not lived up to being the child of God that maybe he knows even that he should have been. But he comes back in the midst of all of that and says, I may have made some bad choices. I may have went down some roads I shouldn't have went down. But I want it to be the overwhelming record of my life. Even above the foolish days and the bad days and the bad choices the overwhelming record of my life is I love the Lord. And so he makes a record. It is a personal record I love. Amen, I love. He has no problem going on record that he loves the Lord. No matter what he is facing, he has stayed in love with God. It is a pointed record. I love the Lord. He's not focused here on others who it seems don't love him. That would no doubt distract him. From loving the Lord as he should. And man, that's a temptation, if we'll be honest. Brother Joe, that's a temptation for me anyway. Hey man, to get my eyes on everybody that I think don't love the Lord or don't love him like they ought to be loving him. But I'm telling you, it is true in my life. Anytime I start getting focused on others who don't love the Lord, that just becomes a distraction to me, where then I began to fail loving the Lord like I should. Amen. Get your eyes off everybody else. Keep your eyes on the Lord. It'll help you. Amen. Have a testimony that you love the Lord. Amen. Amen. Though he speaks of his present problematic season of life that he's in, it is all predicated and filtered again through his love for the Lord. It is a proclaimed record. This psalm is a public proclamation that the psalmist is not ashamed of his love for the Lord. Hell and men, verse 3 and 11, may be set to bring him down. But if he goes down, here's what he's going to do. It will be while he is unashamedly declaring his love for the Lord. He wants it out there. This is not silent praise for the Lord he loves. This is audible praise. This is public praise. This, Brother Tim, is spoken praise for the Lord that he loves. Amen. Somebody said, well, I love him on the inside and I praise him on the inside. Amen. But that ain't no record at all. Amen. Oh, how we ought to say, amen, often that I love the Lord. I told you about Wingnut last week in our first church that made it quite clear to me and everybody in the church. He told his wife when they got married he loved her, and that he hadn't changed his, and that if he ever changed his mind, he promised that he would let her know. And what he's saying was, "Brother Larry, I don't ever tell my wife that I love her. It was enough the day we walked the aisle." How foolish that was. And you just have no wing nut. That's exactly what he was. He is a wing nut. And we all loved him the way that it was. And some of that maybe was carrying on. But I want to say tonight, it ain't enough that we just have love for God in our heart. Amen. Every now and then we ought to tell him that we love him and have a record and go on record before men and before hell and before the congregation that and we truly love the Lord in our life. Amen. It was a proclaimed record. Now tonight, I want to deal with point number two for about 20 minutes, all right? I want to deal with the reasons for loving the Lord. The reasons. This psalmist, he's going to give some very specific things that he has in mind as far as this season of his life or this psalm of his life is concerned. He does not give an exhaustive list of what he of what has spurred him to love the Lord, and we can never. I'm sure if we thought about it. There's no way we could give an exhaustive list, Mary, for reasons that we could love the Lord tonight. That would be an endless list. It would go on and no doubt will go on throughout all eternity. But he does seem to focus on at least three connected causes, at least for this season of his life or this psalm that we want to focus on tonight. And I think you'll be able to identify with these things tonight. Amen. And so reason number one, we'll call it this evening, he loves the Lord because of the inclination of the Lord. He has this record, I love the Lord. He wants to proclaim it and praise the Lord that he loves because of the inclination of the Lord. Now, in his distress, the psalmist says, and he directed his voice, verse number one, and supplications, verse number one, to God. He said, I raised my voice. Amen. Simply meaning I cried aloud to. And the word supplication means just to simply to ask a request, to state some sort of need. And the psalmist said that and the first reason that he gives for his love of God is that the Lord inclined his ear to the psalmist. Look at it here in verse number one and verse number two. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication because he hath inclined his ear unto me. A word inclined, it means to pay attention. To pay attention. The psalmist said, amen, in my hour of distress, when my back was up against the wall, or we would say, when I was between the rock and a hard place, and I really, really needed God, he said, I cried out to him, I called to him, I prayed to him. And what the Lord did, he inclined unto me. I found the Lord was paying me attention. A word incline, it means to stretch or to spread out, such as the hand or the arm. The psalmist is saying, Brother Mike, he said that when I needed the Lord, amen, I prayed to him, I cried to him, I gave him and poured out my supplication. And I found that in that hour of prayer, in that hour of need, in that hour of distress, the Lord paid my prayer attention. That the Lord in that prayer began to stretch out his arm and began to open up his hand as though the psalmist said there was a communication from the Lord through my communication to him. And the Lord began to open up his hand, amen, to minister to my need. Amen. May I say this evening? May I say this evening, his acknowledgement that the Lord heard his prayer and inclined to his prayer, my friend, is a reason. The psalmist said, I want you to know a reason for my love for him. Maybe nobody knew what was going on in the psalmist's life. Have you ever been dealing with something nobody else knew about? You didn't even share it. You didn't even dare share it with your dearest friends. You didn't dare, my friend. I got a text from really my best friend in all this world, even this afternoon, and said, I'm dealing with some things, and it's been in my heart, and I don't know what to do with it. I'm just facing all of this, and finally reaching out and shared that with me. But can I say, long before that child of God shared that with me, amen, God had already heard the prayer, and God had already been hearing the supplication. And I'm telling you tonight, I'm glad there's a God in glory. And when we can't even, my friend, put it in words to give it to somebody else, and if we'll cry to God and we'll pray to the Lord, here's what the psalmist said, he failed, and in that moment of time, God cares and God pays attention and God is there to hear and to listen and to open his hand upon that need. I'm glad this evening that we can love the Lord because of his inclination. He ain't turned against us. He hadn't, my friend, turned his back on you who say, oh, I feel like the heavens are brass and that God does not care. And how many other times have you felt like that? Only, my friend, to let the Lord come by and show up and come through again, time and time again in your life. And I'm telling you that we can love the Lord tonight for those times, and he has proven in our life to incline to our prayer. The inclination of the Lord in his life. Amen. This acknowledgement that he makes of the Lord. I'll just throw this out. Amen. This acknowledgement that he makes that the Lord has heard him and inclined to his prayer. Verse number 2. You'll find in verses 1 through 4 really. And it brought about a confidence, a consolation, and a continuation of prayer in the psalmist's life. Amen. I love what he said, Brother Joe, in verse number 2. He said, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Amen. What has he found? He has found in acknowledging, and I, as a child of God, can go to my Heavenly Father and give him my need, and in my distress, I can turn to him for the help that I need. And in that, he said, as I began to rejoice and find the Lord pays attention, that it has made me more confident than ever at prayer works, at God in heaven and the throne of grace is there faithfully, as Candy sang tonight. He's always been faithful. He's always been faithful, who inclined our ear and our prayer and our need and our hurts and our tears. And the psalmist said, I love him because he's inclined to me, and I have found my confidence in his throne of grace. I have found consolation there that has ministered to my life to know that the Lord is paying me attention. And so he said, I tell you what I think I'll do. I think I'll just keep on calling to the Lord. May I say this evening, amen, the more he experiences prayer, oh, please don't miss this. I know our number's down. I know we're wore out. I know we're tired, but please get a hold of this. The more he experiences prayer, the more reasons he has to love the Lord. Amen. So why do you love the Lord tonight? There have been too many times, Brother Larry, I have found him to be faithful to hear and move and answer prayer time and time and time and time again. And the more I've experienced that, the more reasons I have to love Him. Amen. Somebody said, well, we sing the song, count your many blessings, name them one by one. But the longer you're saved, there's no way you can name them one by one. And so one preacher changed the words in the song and said, I'll name them ton by ton. Amen. And I'm telling you, the longer you're saved and the more you experience prayer and the more God shows how inclined He really is to you and I as His children, we're reminded that God loves us unconditionally. Yet, and God loves us continually. Yet, and in that practice of prayer, there is the gaining of more and more reasons for you and I to love God. Amen. Amen. Sam had an issue with his mower yesterday, and he took it to the mower shop, and they said, "This bad news. It's bad news." And they were talking about, he's going to have this done. We got to test this. And he called me. I said, son, that's going to be a big repair. Amen. And so we went and got his mower, Brother Tim. We carried over, shoved it off last night in the mower shop. And I got up early this morning, got my business done with the Lord and got moving around. And this morning, a little after 8, I got a phone call. It was from Sam. And he said, Daddy, you'll never believe what happened. I said, well, tell me about it. He said, last night I was burdened over that thing. And me and Mad Dog, we began to pray. He said, I didn't want to spend those several hundred dollars. He said, we prayed. And he said, I just put it in God's hand, told it. He said, I got up this morning praying, Lord, you know what they say it is. And Lord, I need you to fix this. He said, Daddy, he said, we got over there this morning. It wasn't even near all that. It was one little wire fell out, and that was the only thing wrong with it. He said, I'm glad God heard my prayer, and I'm thankful God made a way. Amen. You know what I did as his daddy? Amen. In my heart, I thought, Lord, thank you for doing that for him. Because the Lord, along the way in the road of life, that may seem simple. It may seem insignificant. And there's something about that when you pray and God shows you and he's heard and he's inclined and he comes through. That's just one more reason for the rest of your life to love on the Lord. Amen. How many prayers has God answered for you? Say, well, not many. Well, that may be because you ain't prayed many. Amen. The more prayers you pray, the more answers you'll have. And the more answers you obtain, the more reasons you'll have to love God. Amen. Maybe that's why, and I don't mean to focus on everybody that don't love Him. I believe you love Him tonight. But maybe this evening, that's why there's so many that are weak in their love for God. Amen. Maybe if you'd pray more, you'd see God do more and you'd love God more than you do tonight. Amen. That's good preaching there, Pastor. The inclination of the Lord in his life, the preservation of the Lord in his life. Look with me in verse 5 and 6. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. The psalmist makes somewhat, In these verses, somewhat, Brother Jerry, of a confession by counting himself to be simple. The Bible said he preserveth the simple. Now, we would say, well, that just means he lives his life by low means. But in the Word of God, in your King James Bible, this word simple, it has the meaning of to be silly. Listen to this, to be silly or to be seducible. He said, the Lord preserveth the simple. And he's making, I believe, a bit of a confession that there is something about his life where he has been silly or has been seduced away and into maybe a path or a choice or a direction in his life that now has counted him to be as though he is a simpleton. Amen. The word simple refers to a person naive concerning the complexities and challenges of life. And so we can say it's a confession either of his own silliness, his being seduced, or maybe it's a confession of him just being naive in his life. This word simple means one lacking insight, just one that is not educated or possesses the knowledge that one should have. It is a word in your King James Bible synonymous with fool. Psalmist is making a confession. Are y'all ready for this? I have been foolish. Say, but he's a child of God, but he said, I have been foolish. Let me say something tonight. Even God's children can be foolish sometimes. Sometimes we are silly. Sometimes we are seduced. Sometimes we are more naive about the Christian life and the Christian journey and lack insight to a degree that maybe we should have gone beyond in our life. And yet, there are times we can be very, very, very foolish. But here's what the psalmist says, that in whole or in part, I believe we can derive this out of verse number 6, that in whole or in part, what the psalmist is going through is from his own hands or choices, but he declares it is the Lord that has preserved and helped him in spite of his own silliness. Can I say tonight, if it hadn't have been for the Lord preserving you, and had it not been for the Lord preserving me in hours of foolishness, in hours of silliness, in moments of being seduced by spirits and devils and the world and yea, our own flesh, had it not been the Lord preserving you and I, we would have been done in a long time ago. Amen. Here's what I'm glad about, and in my seasons of, let's just call it foolishness, I'm glad the Lord has been standing in the shadows, preserving me from myself. And for that, I love Him. Amen. Praise God. The word preserveth means to hedge about, to guard, to protect, or to attend to. The psalmist said, I may have gone some paths I shouldn't have gone. I may have started, getting myself in some ways I should have never got myself into. He said, but it's the Lord that preserves His children, though they be simple. May I say, that's in the Old Testament. Amen. You talk about eternal security. Amen. You talked about if you're saved and once you are truly born again, always being saved. The psalmist said, and it is the Lord that preserves, amen, those children of His in their simple hours. Amen. I'm glad He still hedges us about and guards us and protects us and attends to you and I. He don't let us just run off out in the wilderness and run headlong out over a cliff. Oh no, friend, thank God He's a watching over us and to preserve us in those hours. You better love the Lord, and for nothing else, the fact, amen, that He is there to guard and attend to you even when you're acting stupid. Amen. I am. Amen. Oh, they'll burn me up on the internet. He calls His people stupid. I just do, because I'm in the same camp with all of us.
Amen. Amen. We're all ignorant people at times. Amen. And I'm telling you, it's the Lord that preserves us. He said here, he said he preserveth the simple. He said, I was brought low and he helped me. The word help means to succor. That's a New Testament word you get into over in the book of Hebrews. He is able also to succor them. Amen, and I'm thankful our Savior, he is a succoring Savior. And that word just simply means to run to support. It means to relieve when in difficulty, want, or distress. It means this, Brother A.L. Brother Mark, I like this. It means to assist and deliver from suffering. A psalmist just said, some of this is my own fault. Some of this is due to my own choices. Some of this, I maybe even asked for because of the way that I live my life. And even though I got myself in this mess, it was the Lord that helped me. It was the Lord that ran to support me. It was the Lord that came to me to relieve me from the difficulty that I had made on myself and the want I brought to my own soul and the distress I brought to my own life for my own family. It was the Lord that helped me when I brought myself low. It was he that assisted me in my hour of self-suffering. Do you not love the Lord? How many times did you do something and you thought, I can't believe I was so dumb to have done that, only to find the Lord to be so faithful in that hour? I know we reap what we sow. Amen. We reap what we sow. But I'm glad even when I'm reaping what I sow, if I will tender myself to God, he will help me as I reap what I sow. Amen. That don't mean it takes everything away. That doesn't mean, my friend, he'll shield you to the point that you don't feel the effects of some of those choices. And ain't it a blessing when he comes back and you've been brought low and he tries to lift you up? And my friend, he's there, my friend, to support you. Amen. And everybody around will ask what you get. Amen. I told you so. Amen. We try not to be like that, but let's be honest. We may not say that to some folk, but we think that. Amen. That's what they get. Amen. And sometimes we're not very succoring to some that get themselves in a bind. But our God's not that way. Amen. He'll help those who have been simple. The preservation this psalmist experienced was rooted in the character of God's grace, God's righteousness, and God's mercy. Amen. He said, I may have been simple, but God was gracious. I may have been foolish, but God was righteous. I may have been out of the way and gone ways that I knew better, or maybe I should have known better and just, amen, had not grown the way that I should have. But the Lord was mighty merciful to me. Amen. Can I say tonight, the preservation of the psalmist, the security that God gave to the psalmist, it is rooted in the character of God. Amen. That's why I take issue in this crowd that says that you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. That crowd knows nothing of the character of God. That's outside the character of God. Amen. God preserves his own. Amen. I ain't saying you can do any old thing you want. I ain't saying, my friend, you can drink beer, cuss, tell dirty jokes. Amen. And live like an utter heathen. Amen. If you've saved and you keep that up, amen, God will preserve you even through his chastening hand unto death. Amen. Amen. Preservation sometimes. Amen. God's grace and righteousness and mercy sometimes is exhibited through chastisement. Amen. If you say you're saved and you live in sin and you're without chastisement, the Bible said you are a bastard and not a son.
But if you're a son and ever been made a son, God will deal with you as a son, even in your sin. Amen. Amen. And so this idea of preservation, it taps us in the character of God. How do you know you're saved? How do you pillow your head at night and without any fear or dread of eternity? Preacher, how is it that through the ups and downs and the good choices and the bad choices and the fickleness sometimes we all have as children of God, how are you not afraid of losing your salvation? Because I know something of the character of God. Amen. He is gracious, He is righteous, and He is merciful, and because of His character, He preserves His own. Amen. And you can go tell, amen, you can go tell, amen, all of them think you can lose it. Pastor Jeff said so. Amen. You don't know nothing of the character of God. Amen. He said, I'll love Him because His character of being gracious and righteous and merciful in my life. He has watched over me and kept me saved even when I have been simple. Amen. Don't you love Him for that? Notice the liberation of the Lord, verse 7 and 8. I'm done. He prayed. I wish we had some endurance tonight. Myself and you included to put up with this. But I thought about this in verse number 4. Look back there. Oh Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Do y'all see there in verse 4, he prayed for deliverance. Watch what happens in verse number 8. He receives deliverance, for Thou hast delivered my soul. He prayed for it in verse 4. Four verses later, God done showed up and sent an answer. Amen. I don't want to go back and preach point one again, but I'm telling you, God answers prayer. Sometimes, not always, sometimes He answers very, very quickly. Amen. So he prayed for deliverance, and now he receives deliverance. We call this the liberation. God is going to liberate him. God, having heard his prayer, when it comes against it, God having preserved him through his problem, while he's walking through it, helping him and succoring him and relieving him, supporting him while he's going in it. Now the psalmist lives long enough to come out on the other side. Amen, to experience the deliverance of God in his life. There's nothing like it when you've been fighting a battle, facing hell, dealing with your own mistakes, to live long enough to see God bring you through to the other side. This liberation is threefold. I ain't got time to preach all this. I need to give a whole message on this, maybe verse number 8. Thou hast delivered, number 1, my soul from death. He said, I felt like I was dying. Now God's delivered me. I've got freshness and newness of life all up in my soul. He said, you've delivered my eyes from tears. He said, I was so burdened and broken over what I was feeling and facing and going through. But when God heard and answered my prayer, He liberated me. Well, once where tears fell, God has dried those tears, and I'm not crying anymore. Ain't you glad we serve a God who can dry the tears from our eyes? He said, Thou hast delivered my feet from falling. He said, I had a lot of instabilities and insecurities and didn't know how everything was going to turn out, if I'd even be able to stand. But God delivered my feet from falling. Amen. All of this was done because the Lord, I got to have time to deal with this, but I ain't got it. He said, the Lord dealt bountifully with me. Verse number 7, the deliverance he experienced was God's bountiful dealings in his life. The phrase dealt bountifully means to treat a person well. Speaks of the benefit that one provides to another. Amen. I thought when I seen that, Brother Jerry, I thought
I thought of what the psalmist said. Is it Psalm 105? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Amen. The psalmist said, I tell you where my deliverance came from. It came in the bountiful dealings of God in my life. Amen. The result of this deliverance is the return of rest to the soul of this child of God who has been hurting. Amen. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. I tell you why the psalmist loved the Lord. She had been through enough to know God can bring you through anything. I don't know what you're facing and what you're going through and how you hurt and how you feel. But there ain't nothing in the world, Brother Gerald, like when God brings you through something and you feel that rest and that peace that God has brought you through. I got hooked on, we was on our way going to Alabama. I left a little later than Kate and the girls, and I was traveling by myself. And I got it on loop, Pleasant View, one of their trios or quartets up there singing the song, I Came Through Another Valley, or I Came Through Another Battle. And I won't sing it to you tonight, but the gist of that song is, Lord, that you've brought me through one more battle. I just want to praise you. Lord, you brought me through again. I just want to tell you I love you. Amen. And I'm glad I've been through enough to know the Lord's enough to bring us through. And I'm going to tell you why the psalmist loved the Lord. Because he had experienced all those things we go through, everything that makes us cry, makes us hurt, makes us frustrated. You know what all that's designed to do? It's designed to get you to trust God and let God work in your life. And just like the psalmist, the more he experienced in prayer, he loved the Lord more, the more battles you and I face, the more reasons we have to love God. Because I'm telling you, he's faithful. You sang the right song tonight. He is faithful and has been faithful to bring me through so many things and set me free. Things that, I got to quit, but things, just think about it today, getting my mind ready to preach and knowing where we're going to go. That, Brother Gerald, if I'm being honest, he's brought me through things that when I was going through it, I thought I'll never get out of this. I don't see any way out of it. I couldn't get myself out. You couldn't have got me out. Amen. But the Lord did. I'm going to tell you tonight, I love the Lord. The liberation, that deliverance. They say, all them Baptists, they don't believe in the doctrine of deliverance. You better believe we do. Amen. We don't believe in going to a tent and you got to foam at the mouth and have some. Amen. Adulterating, fornicating, wife swapping preacher. Amen. Get up and sing and cast devils out of you. Paul said, my God, he did deliver me. He is delivering me and he will deliver me. The psalmist said, my God delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. You better believe we believe in deliverance. We just believe God is the one that does it. He don't need a Benny Hinn. He don't need a Greg Locke. He don't need a Pentecostal preacher. Amen. God can well nigh deliver his own and does. For that we ought to love on him. Praising the Lord you love. Lord, we do love you tonight. Thank you for the